This is the Visual Developers Podcast with your hosts, Lacey Kessler, Matt Varghese, and Ben Parker. Interviews, no-code reviews, tutorials, and more, we're here to talk about all things no-code.
Hey, everybody. Ben here with Visual Dev FM, back for another episode. And as usual, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Lacey and Matt.
Hello. Heyo.
And this week, we've got something really exciting for you. We've got an interview with David Atkin from Adalo. And David is one of the coolest people you'll ever meet in the no-code space. Just super kind, really nice, co-founder of Adalo. And he's the one who drove the Future is No-Code that we were a part of. And so we had him want to talk about the Future is No-Code, but like we said, well, we got to get you back to talk Adalo. So this is our chance to kind of get him to talk a little bit more about what they've been doing, where they're going. And he dropped some juicy nuggets here. You're going to hear some things about Adalo you've not heard before. Right here on the podcast. We're excited about it. But before we get there, as always, we're going to cover what's new in no-code. And I'll be honest, we started looking for what's new in no-code. We released later last week, so it's been less time. So there's not a lot here in this update. But we're going to do our best to get you updated. So the big news, no-code founders, V2 is launching or has launched. Is it launched? Is it officially live? I did not try to check it out. Oh, it's finally live. Okay, so No Code Founders 2.0 is live. Joshua Tiernan tweeted this, and he said, here's what's included in 2.0. Slack, startups, stacks, tools, founder profiles, posts, perks, AMAs, interviews, meetups, jobs, tutorials, advanced insights and filtering, and premium features, all built with no code, obviously. And so... No Code Founders, if you aren't a part of their community, you need to be a part of their community. It's really one of the coolest no code communities out there, if not the coolest. It's so great. They've got a lot of awesome things going. And so definitely go check it out. NoCodeFounders.com. It looks really great. And make sure you sign up, jump in the community. You'll find all of us there in the Slack. And so really stoked for Joshua and for No Code Founders. This is really, really cool. So definitely go give it a look. So we are the unofficial, official Glide podcast. I say it every week. Glide has another update where you can now set default values for your inputs. So, you know, if you have an input and you know by default it's going to be X, most of the time you can go ahead and fill that in for a user. Or if you're pulling that from a database, you can go ahead and fill that in. If you have certain fields that you want to be pre-filled for your users, you can do that. This is a really nice touch. A lot of tools have this available, and I think this is really awesome. So definitely go check that out. Link in the show notes. Webflow World Tour. So this is releasing... on Tuesday, August the 18th. So if you're listening to us on release day, Webflow World Tour starts today, webflow.com/worldtour. And it's 3 weeks, 9 events. So it's going to be a bunch of different events. To, you know, 18th they go by different time zones. So the 18th is in the Seattle time zone, 19th is in the Austin time zone, the 20th is in New York City, East Coast time zone, and then there's one in London, Copenhagen, Tel Aviv, Bangalore, Sydney. And then they have the Global Maker Day that we talked about, which is going to be really, really cool. So if you haven't signed up yet, if you haven't gone and checked it out, you definitely need to go take a look, webflow.com/worldtour. And take part. It's going to be a really cool world tour and a lot of really great speakers and a lot of great information. You're going to want to make sure you're checking it out. Mackenzie Child has launched Flamingo. And Lacey, I know you were bragging about how awesome you thought this is. I haven't got to get a chance to go through it yet, and I can't wait to give it a shot because I think it's going to be awesome. But you want to share a little bit about your experience?
Absolutely. It is so good. I've been in Webflow development for, I think, around 2 years now. And I went into it as a beta tester, and I was kind of just more of like wanted to, you know, if there was anything that I saw that I could give McKinsey feedback on or whatever. I was absolutely blown away by how good the lessons and tutorials are and how much I learned just like right out of the gate. Like there were things I realized like, wow, I've been doing this wrong, or things I've wanted to learn how to do better that he really does a great job explaining. And the production quality is so nice. Like he has built like an LMS inside of Webflow. And so everything is super clean and easy to find. The lessons are really digestible. So if you've been on the fence about it, I highly, highly recommend going into it. I'm using it. I'm building the Women in No Code site, like the actual site. And so I'm using a lot of the stuff I learned in McKinsey's class to translate that over. So I'm super pumped.
And that's flamingo.co. If you want to go check it out, flamingo.co. Super awesome site, and you definitely want to go check it out. And also, McKinsey was on was in a MakerPad workshop with Tom Osman. And if you go to flamingo.co/MakerPad, there's some really cool tips and tricks there as well on the box model and how that works. And then as well as, you know, just using classes. And he talked about, I guess, keyboard shortcuts and Webflow. And that's my jam. I like to use that quick find and work my way around Webflow without having to use my mouse. So if you want to become like keyboard shortcut pro, definitely go check that out. That's really cool. Go check that out on MakerPad. Bubble has an Airtable integration. So if you ever wanted to build in Bubble, but you didn't want to use their database, you wanted to, you know, use Airtable. So now they have this this integration where essentially you can take you can install. I think it's a you install an Airtable plugin in Bubble, and then what it does is it allows you to pull in, you know, all your Airtable data and use it in the in your Bubble app, which is really great. So if you've been building that no code backend in Airtable and you've got a lot of data saved up or stored up, and you were trying to figure out how you're going to build, this looks like a really great option, something you definitely want to check out. It's bubble.io/integration/Airtable, link in the show notes for you to go check it out. But you can go get all the details there and get to building your next project. It's really cool. Props to the Bubble team. Tessa Thomas launched Recruit HQ. And Recruit HQ is, she said, she tweeted that it's officially live, and her mission is to help high school athletes find a college athletic program that they'll love. And it's a no-code app, which is really awesome. As someone who loves sports, and specifically, like, I love high school sports. I used to coach high school basketball. I think this is a really, really cool app. So she was looking for feedback, and she did launch on Product Hunt. At T squared T on Twitter, we'll share the link to the tweet in our show notes, but definitely go check it out and support Teresa, and take a look at the app. Really cool.
Just quick correction. Tessa.
Tessa. What did I say?
Teresa.
Dadgummit. Tessa, I'm sorry. You can, if you ever meet me in person, you can punch me right in the face. That's your payback for me mispronouncing your name. I hope I never meet you in person. Not that I don't like you. I just don't want to get punched in the face. But definitely go check that out. Recruit HQ, and go take a look. Zero Code Conference. It's a long ways out still. I don't think it's until October, but October 7th and 8th. But we've been talking about it. Just want to keep it top of mind. If you're looking for a no-code conference to check out, this will be a great one. ZeroCode.com. It's ZeroCode with a Q /ZeroCodeConf. And you can go there and sign up and get your tickets. But lots of cool speakers. Our very own Lacey is there in that. And right now it is free. Limited availability, and in another 6 days, that jumps up to $19 per ticket. So if you were wanting to go, right now is the perfect time to get it at a price that you can't afford. It's free tickets, and so definitely jump on that early bird train and check it out. All right. So that's it for our no code roundup. Lacey's still laughing at my screw up, which is funny. And I'm Tessa. I'm sorry again. I'm sorry, Teresa. I didn't mean to call you Tessa. I mean, I'm sorry, Tessa. I didn't mean to call you Teresa. I don't know. This whole thing has gone off the rails. So this week, it's an interview with David from Adalo. Definitely hang around and check that out. It's a good talk. Hope you enjoy it, and we'll catch you next time.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Visual Dev. Today, we have David, who is the co-founder of Adalo, here with us. So thanks so much for being here with us, David.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. It's always such a fun time all chatting. So thanks for having me.
Yeah. We're really glad you're here. Happy and excited to talk about the component marketplace and everything that Adalo has been up to. And before we get into that, I want to circle back when I think it was the last time we all chatted. It was about the future is no code. And, you know, we talked and there were a lot of other people on there that were giving their answers and sharing their feedback and perspective of the project. And so I wanted to touch on that for the people that maybe didn't hear about it or know that it existed, and kind of have you kind of give us like an overview of what the project is and what you were hoping to accomplish with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So the last time, we were just kind of kicking that off. So the project was kind of started when, you know, I realized after talking, it was actually like a weekend where I had talked, I was in New York. This was before COVID when everyone was able to travel and stuff like that. So I was in New York and I have a ton of friends there from college, which is really nice to tell them what I was up to. And I had to explain what the heck the no code space was to them. And there was a couple of investor meetings that we had there as well. So kind of talking high level strategy. And then there was actually a no code conference-ish type of thing that we went to meet up. And so it was a little culmination of like all these different no code perspectives from someone who has no idea about no code to VCs, to people that are actually really in no code. And from that, I recognized like there's so many questions and interests, and there's so many different parts of no code that I was like, oh, I should write down all of, you know, what no code means, like what the future of no code, where it's going to go. Had a little existential crisis plane where I was like, I'm just like a little piece of that like no code puzzle. Like, why don't I talk to all of the different experts? So then it became, I should just like email all the CEOs of all the other no code, companies. And some of them a lot of them responded and did a little interview series with them. Yeah, I didn't know if anyone would respond at the beginning. Did an interview series, like half an hour interviews with each of them, asked them the same exact questions, and then was able to kind of compare and contrast all the answers and came up with a little conclusions report that's now kind of out, as well as all their individual answers. So you can compare. That goes over, you know, what is the definition of no code? What is the future in terms of when we all predict certain things will happen with no code and all that. So that's all, I'm sure you could just Google search the future is no code and hopefully find it on Google. And it's a kind of book mini series. It's for people who are into no code, the experts, and also for, you know, just people that are just getting started. So the whole point was kind of all of us to kind of galvanize. I think, you know, Visual Dev does a great job of this as well, of, you know, getting us all kind of on the same page of what's going on so we can really promote this together. I feel like that's probably one of the biggest things of no code is this, the community effort to really make this whole revolution work right now. Kind of usher in a new era that, you know, from an outsider's perspective, doesn't really make sense of how this is kind of possible. And, I think having us all on the same page is a good way to make that happen.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll have a link in the show notes for the future is no code for you to reference if you're interested in learning more. So with some of those answers, were there any answers that you were totally surprised by that you were just like, huh, I was not expecting that? Or, wow, that's a bad answer.
I'm trying to pull it up right now here real fast to get some of the more surprising stuff here. I was definitely, surprised of like just how divisive the like term, like no dash code versus no space code was, and like just kind of how evenly split and like showing like we don't really know like where we all are in that. It was pretty even. I know like, no dash code was technically the highest percentage, but it still felt like not really great. In terms of like us really solidifying where we all stand on that. I think the optimism was really apparent from everybody's answers of, how this is really going to change so many different things, which was, really kind of exciting to see everybody have amazing stories from it. In terms of the like, so there's like all these like different like prediction questions that I asked you all these questions as well. In terms of like when I thought certain things would happen, I guess I was taken aback a little bit by, I thought it would come to the mainstream a little earlier on with like, in terms of like, there was one question about like, when will politicians start talking about it? I didn't realize that would be like the last thing. I was hoping that this space maybe would get a little talked about there more like early on from that one. So it's definitely not like the last one that I kind of predicted. So I think that's kind of the main stuff.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Good deal. Yeah. And we, got to be included in that. And thank you again for having us and letting us. We definitely felt like we were very honored to be there and couldn't believe that we were, considered in the same group of.
It was awesome. We like weighted the questions. So there's over 1,400 responses, which is kind of crazy. So then we weighed those. I forget the exact percentage that we weighed the experts higher of on in terms of like when we like did all of the like estimated answers and time of all the different stuff, but weighted the experts, 50% higher or something like that to balance things out, which was our great scientific approach to it. I'm probably like really bad at stats, but tried to give some sort of weighted experts there.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well, let's talk about the component marketplace that Idalo released. And I am blown away by it. And I want to talk about it, but I should let you talk about it because you did it, or you and your team did it. So kind of tell me about how did this get started? What motivated the team to put this out? Thoughts behind it? All that stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty crazy because this was like actually something from the very, very beginning that we had like laid the groundwork for. So when Idalo got started, it was kind of two different teams working together. There was like Jeremy out in California, and then Ben and I were here in St. Louis. And Ben and I were definitely like super like into like the component first type of approach. And at that exact moment, I think Jeremy was kind of working on more of like where you would take like what the prototyping tools were, where it was like, okay, you have a rectangle and a text and you drag those things in and then you kind of make your own or whatever. So that's a little bit how like the blended approach to, I think, Idalo, which I think is like served us really well, where it's like, if you don't know how to design and don't really have those skills, you can just drag in a component and it should work nicely. But if you do have the design skills, or maybe you want to take it to the next level and really be able to brand it towards what you exact specifications, like that is possible. But the reason why I tell that story at the beginning was because the first set of components that we ever actually did were like a lot of the material components from Google Material Design, and we kind of implemented those. And I remember when we first did it, like just how fast it was, and all of a sudden like we had like three different kinds of lists and like form and all these different things that like all of a sudden like kind of like happened out of nowhere, were like specific buttons. So there was a little like moment at the very beginning where we were like, whoa, like all of a sudden, like we just like kind of quickly changed it all. Like how do we do that? How can we like build that in from the beginning so that that will be possible, to take, it's kind of like, you know, like the next layer of abstraction up from like components that, developers have been using for, you know, forever, where currently today in the dev world, and some of them are open source, like, you know, the material design ones and stuff like that, where there'll be, you know, a specific component and they'll share those with other developers and it's really easy for them to spin it up and bring it into their project. And we wanted to kind of have that same approach where, you know, no coders could also kind of get those benefits. Because right now, you know, in the dev world, like those are shared and great for developers to jumpstart their projects quickly. But, you know, it kind of gets trapped in the specific, you know, dev side of things. And how can we get more people to access that for their projects? So from the very beginning, we had that concept of, you know, what are ways that, like all the stuff we would develop in terms of the options that you can set in terms of like when, like being able to set the click actions in Idalo or being able to use the magic text to go grab it from the data or being able to say like what data is going to get connected to that component. So all those things from the very beginning were kind of like laid out. And also in terms of like, you know, if you're familiar with Idalo with like the left, you know, the left panel where you're kind of setting all of your options. You know, we, from the very beginning, like theorized, like what are all the different options that people could have in there? And maybe not all of them, but a ton of them, that way they were flexible enough to be able to do that. So, yeah, it was from the kind of very beginning that we wanted to make it possible for, anyone to kind of build these components. So that's kind of then what this culmination was of. So it probably started in terms of us working on, okay, yeah, I guess maybe I should back up a little bit. So the component marketplace, for people that like aren't aware at all yet, maybe they've got some context clues, but basically any developer can write a custom piece of code that then would be like a component that you could drag into your app. And those could be, you know, anything from as simple as like a button, you know, maybe there's some crazy new kind of like button that when it's at the top of the screen, it's like, you know, a circle and then you scroll down and it changes shape or something like that, to extra functionality, like an audio player and things like that, that Idalo doesn't have, to even like, you know, potentially crazier things where you're starting to get into like, well, it's going to take the camera and it's going to be some sort of AR thing and, you know, put your, you know, put like a piece of furniture in your app or something like that, which to be clear, we don't have yet in Idalo, but theoretically could be possible in the component marketplace. So, so now any developer can do that. And those components can right now be put into a marketplace where everybody can do them. And we can talk in a little bit about, you know, our plans for right now, all of them are free. You know, we do have plans for, you know, maybe you'd sell some of those things. We also have the ability to make those private. So that, you know, it, let's say that we don't have that crazy AR thing that I just talked about, but like your app really needs it for like a part of it and you can't really move forward without it. Well, then you could still use Idalo to build the 90% of your app that you wanted, but we didn't want you to be stuck and not have the ability to actually complete what you want to complete. So now you potentially could go hire a developer or find a developer, or maybe you are a developer, and then you could make the, like just that component and then, you know, drag it in and set it up. So yeah, just it, we wanted to make Idalo more extensible so that you didn't feel trapped and that it wasn't, Idalo is not just like a place for you to make your MVP, but, you know, you really could take it, you know, to the next level. So, yeah. So then we started working with, I guess maybe like 25 developers, in like a little beta period with them. And, slash a couple of interns that at Adalo, like that they literally just like interns from college, and like their summer internship was like making a couple of those like components in that system, which was like crazy to see that like really awesome like features were just like were like built by some like, you know, interns and like in their summer internship. And it was like, oh my God, this has like a lot of value. So yeah, so now that's kind of all up there. You can certainly chat like about future plans for it and stuff. That's a little overview.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome. So how did you decide which components to release initially?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a mix of whatever personally those like actual developers were like passionate about. And some of them, a couple of them were Adalo experts, or they are Adalo experts. So maybe they like needed it for their like a client project that they're working on, where it's like, well, I need like a QR code so that my client can, you know, be able to have individualized tickets and scan them and stuff. So like I'll build that now for them. So a couple of them are done like that. We do have on ideas.adalo.com a way for you to request people to, there's a couple of tabs on there. There's like a main backlog of features that you can request that we are desperately always working on. And then there is a, I promise we're always trying to get stuff. And then there's like a component request on there as well. So I think there was a kind of a bunch of requests there that they were able to like sort through and see which ones would be easy enough. There are a couple of limitations that we haven't quite gotten on some of that stuff. So it was partially like, well, that would be a little too difficult. So I wouldn't say it was like the top 20 components, like 100%, like this is literally from 1 to 20 type of thing. It was a little bit of like, they seem like high priority ones, but certainly like a little bit of dealer's choice and a little bit of who was developing it for it. And then now, so with those developers, we also wanted to make that development experience easy for them. So we had chatted with them for a while and kind of iterated on, I'm certainly not the best one to tell exactly how it's easier because I can't code, but you know, we wanted to make a create Adalo component tool that would be really easy for the developers. I mean, certainly it's you know, at the beginning of its existence, and that, you know, we have further plans for them to be able to submit versions for those things. And there's a whole review process, which was like, felt a little bit like it got even more meta, because now we're like Apple, like reviewing like the components that people submit, and they have standards and like stuff like that. So, so yeah, but trying to make that process super easy for them so that they could like, you know, be able to have it and test it inside of Adalo, like right in their accounts available right away. So, that, you know, it was easy and they could see what was wrong with it and things like that. So, yeah, that was kind of how we picked, there was a little bit of, you know, how we kind of picked them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm glad you brought up that React component, because that to me is like the most wild part of this thing. I mean, the components are awesome. No joke. Like I know Ben and Matt were freaking out when they saw the swipe component was going to be there, because they've been wanting that type of feature. But it's like seeing that you can literally build your own component and add it on to your app. I mean, it kind of makes me think, why would you do it any other way? If but it's like, to me, it's like, I just can't imagine, like, why would you go out and go through the entire development process if you just need some additional key things that you can build on and you're good to go? You know, I think it's brilliant. I mean, I do. It makes me so excited, especially because I have a lot of developer friends that can work in React. So I'm excited to hit them up and see what they can do with it. So what future plans do you have that you can share?
Yeah. So yeah, of course. Let's see. So there's some immediate future plans for the marketplace and then more like longer term plans for the marketplace. So the first thing, you know, right now all of them were free, and we definitely do want to set, you know, kind of a tone of like, there will be certainly like open source, just like there are open source type of things, but you know, there'll also be more complex components that we imagine a developer spends a long time on, right? If it is some sort of that like AR crazy, like camera tracking thing, right? Like then like, you know, that would spend a long time. So, and not be needed by everybody, but the people who really needed it would probably pay a chunk of money. So trying to figure out how to make the payment process work between those and how to do it fairly is a little TBD. We'll have to see how people react. But so definitely being able to beef up the developers being able to get paid for those things, as well as them being able to have their own individual section inside of Adalo where they could have versions and they could push out new versions of those things and a little better management of what it is. Also, like right now, it's just like a small little modal inside of Adalo, inside of the actual editor. We have plans for it to be, you know, kind of a full-blown page, and you'd be able to see screenshots of what it was and version history, and people could comment, and I'll do all those kinds of like more complex stuff for it. And then let's see, like right now there are a couple of limitations with the components you can make. So if you're trying to do like a payment component, it's a little more difficult to do without chatting with us directly. Or if you're doing some sort of like authorization type of thing, it's a little bit, you know, those are like super high requested things. So we're working on making that possible / making some of our own, you know, components that would be available through it, in terms of being able to sign in with Google or your third party authentication type of manners. So there's definitely that. Okay. So there's like that part of it. We also have a larger vision for the marketplace, not just being about components. So there's a couple other things we'd want to put into there. So one is an obvious thing of like having templates that you would put in there, as well as the clonable kits that we have right now. So the full-blown templates for everyone is like, hey, I want to have a gym template. Here's everything about it. The kits are a little more of like those smaller pieces of functionality that, you know, right now kind of just gets shared on the internet, and it's like not really like a clear repository of where they are, where it's like, oh, this is how I did a follow function. It's like, oh, just like clone this little thing and then you can set it up inside of there. We also are interested in doing like components that would be made by no coders. So it's like, hey, I made some sort of cool UI thing, like, and being able to put that in there would be interesting. And then the other big thing for the marketplace, which I didn't expect when we first went into it. It's only like a recent thing, but it's definitely something that's starting to happen that we, you know, haven't really said to anybody, but certainly is a good time to say it now, is that like, so right now we have the custom action stuff, which is possible. And if you're familiar with the custom actions, definitely probably more familiar if you're a lot more techie because they're pretty restricted to techie people right now. But what custom action is that you can click any button or wherever you want to set an action. And then that can go, you can set what API response you want that to have. And it can go ping some other system. Like, let's say for example, you have a restaurant ordering app and you want to send that to your like POS system or something. So you could click a button and then it would go and talk to that other system. And then that other system could even send a response like, I finished that order, and then it would come back into Adalo. So right now that's all possible with custom actions. We haven't really announced it too well because of all the component marketplace stuff. So that's probably my fault, but we'll get a better video out there. We have like the outputs now where those custom actions not only can go request something from something else, but they can get the JSON response back. Anyway, so all that's like, So there's outputs now. So you can spit it back and then you can do something with that inside of a doll, like store it somewhere or use it in an additional action. So yeah. So it's like pretty crazy, right? So yeah. So the outputs are out now as well. Like I said, like I'll probably actually announce that more higher next week. Like it was like, there's like a little YouTube video is the only thing. And some people were like blown. Like they're like, wait a second, you could do this. And I was like, yeah, we'll announce it in a second. But anyways, so there's the outputs and inputs now for the custom actions, which is awesome, especially like with you guys who are like a little more techie, but for the no coder, maybe the less techie person, you know, like that's great, but not really helpful. So in the marketplace, what we'd like to have is an action section where you could basically like put all of the like code to like go ping whatever that system is. And then because once you set it up one time, then you know, you can use that action in your app and use it just like you would any other action in Andala, where you're like picking with the magic text and you're not in touching the code at all. So if you really like our game plan is to have, those actions in there that, developers would write or more techie people would write. And then anybody be able to be like, oh, I want that action in my app. So like, let's say like you had a restaurant ordering app and I wanted to like, you know, have it go ping some system. So then you would be able to like take all the code that that person had written for that action and then be able to apply it inside of your app as well. The only thing you would have to add would be some of the like, you know, authorization codes that are individual, like, you know, would be in the auth keys and stuff like that, the API keys for your individual instance of it. But, so then, yeah, you would literally just like paste in a couple, IDs, and then you'd be able to set that up inside of your thing as well. So that's another side of the marketplace. So it's going to be, components, more like clonable template stuff. And then actions is like the larger vision for the marketplace. So yeah.
That's wild. We won't tell anyone, I promise.
Yeah. We've never actually said that. So yeah, now you guys know. Don't tell
me. You heard it first on Visual Dev FM.
Yeah. So yeah. That's yeah. Part of the spirit, you know, is definitely like, how can we connect dev or more tech minded people with, you know, the people like me who the thing is like right now everyone gets super excited about custom actions, but like I can't really use them unless like someone either really walks me through it or like, that's like really actually that's the only really way I can use them right now. So it's like stuff like that where it's like, well, if someone like had set that up for me ahead of time and I could just put in my own API key, then like I'd be off to the races and I could use the rest of it in Andala. And same with like a developer who wants to make a custom component, and then I could use it and be off to the races. So how can we connect the two sides a little more is part of the spirit of the marketplace for sure.
Yeah. I love that. I love that it doesn't take like Andala doesn't take the stance of like, you know, we're no code only and all other code get out, because I think there is so much strength when you combine the two, you know, like we see it all the time, especially like, cause a lot of the development that the three of us do is in Webflow for websites mm-hmm. and, you know, building little micro web apps, and the ability to add in that custom code, even if we didn't write it, if somebody else does, or, you know, we get it offline or whatever, like, that just supercharges the already really great thing that we can build. And I feel like, you know, Andala is the same way with mobile apps. The fact that you can just plug that in and go, and like with what you're saying that it has, you know, the ability to do coming up, that's so cool and exciting.
Yeah. No, a lot of it is definitely, you know, certainly we'll say is like inspired from, you know, what Webflow, you know, kind of works with those things, right? Where like, you know, when I'm doing Andala's site in Webflow, I'll copy and paste in random bits of code and I don't know what they mean, but I put them in there and then they work. So, you know, it's a similar type of thing, and trying to have that same spirit, I think inside of Andala is, you know, a lot of what we're going for.
Yeah. 100%. So we got a question from Twitter and for you, and it says, what is the Andala team most excited about right now?
Well, I mean, definitely the component marketplace. But I feel like that's like, we already talked about that a little bit. Maybe that's like it's a little bit of a cop-out answer. So let's see, what are we most excited for? It's a good question. The honest answer. The honest answer is definitely like this kind of like, you know, collaboration type of stuff that we're trying to get between developers, non-developers, and even just no coders, and, you know, being able to have the ability to clone apps and stuff like that. You know, we're definitely, how can we connect everybody as much as possible? And, you know, I think even other no code platforms have done that really well, and had some of that stuff, you know, before we have had some of that stuff. So definitely focused on the collaboration side of things right now. I think, you know, as kind of like the immediate focus. Definitely, you know, it was awesome to see the long-term vision of the Kimona marketplace take place. There are some other, like, I would say longer term vision stuff that I'm really now that, like, not that the Kimona marketplace is over by any stretch of the imagination, but like, the next big stuff that we're able to kind of set our sights on, you know, is a lot of stuff. I think like kind of after we work on some of that Kimona marketplace stuff, but definitely improving the responsive side of Adalo, you know, is kind of the, like now like the next big, you know, North Star, I feel like that we haven't. And again, I'm not trying to say like we're literally about to do this next month, so just to be clear. But I think, you know, we had this big vision for the marketplace for so long, and that's a little bit started now. So in terms of what you're asking for, you know, next big North Star, I think that's probably the next thing that's starting to get, you know, excited about and stuff like that. But, you know, definitely also really excited. Every day, the no-code community keeps getting bigger and, you know, more and more mainstream. So really excited about all of those things as well.
I think it's so cool. Like, your community is growing, like, not just the no-code community, but even the Adalo community is like feels like it's booming. And, like, you know, even, like, Parker's got a lot of fun coming, and there's all these cool things that are happening that are really cool. When you talk about focusing on responsive, like maybe the next big North Star, you kind of maybe took the wind out of my sails with my next question, but I was kind of curious about, like, is there going to be more renewed focus on like that desktop type, you know, experience to really tie in with the mobile app and what that looks like and maybe what that long-term vision looked like?
Yeah. So yeah, that's definitely the long-term vision. You know, we believe like cross-platform, you know, we've done everything from the beginning, you know, in that kind of spirit of like, we want, you know, you to be able to have an app that we want you to be able to kind of like take the full app life cycle, right? So maybe your idea starts small and maybe it just kind of is a native mobile app that only works for 10 people and they're really excited about it and that's it. And if you have that app in Adalo, like, amazing. Like, that's a great thing, you know, and it should be affordable enough for you to be able to have that and be excited about it. But if it starts booming and you're picking up steam, how can you expand on it? And that's part of the, you know, component marketplace, you know, initiative was being like, no, like, you need some next thing, right? How can you add to it? And a big focus right now, is about performance in Adalo for sure. So making that happen faster and really feel like a native app is probably something like we're immediately focused on, maybe even before the like responsive side. And then I guess like the point of this is like, right, you're on some sort of journey. And, you know, I think the ultimate journey, you know, like when you get really successful, you know, whether you started web or native first, because maybe you started web first, right? And you didn't do native first, is like, well, like, at some point you get successful enough with ever that like product is that you probably want it to be cross-platform and really work. Like, no, like, some people are going to want to download it and some people are going to be on their desktop and on their browser and not download it because maybe they think it's a pain to download. And that's fine. If they only use the app once, maybe they don't want to, but maybe they're a hardcore person and they want to download it. So, you know, you have all those different types of users and all those different experiences. So being able to like make all of those things possible. And now, like, you know, Apple just announced the whole, like, you'll be able to install native apps on Macs and stuff like that. So we'll have to tackle that. I think the dream is really for you to be able to have the full life cycle of your app or your idea come to life, however successfully that is, if it starts growing and have the different things. Yeah. So, the definitely want to be able to make it possible for Adalo to look good on desktop and not just be like, and then also look good on mobile, where it's, you know, like right now, you know, the one column layout is probably the most successful way to do like web apps on Adalo, where then it still shrinks down and works on mobile. But, you know, you to be able to much in like a Webflow type of way where it's like, all right, here's like what the design looks like on mobile, and here's what it looks like on a tablet, and here's what it looks like on desktop. And be able to design those different things for sure is, you know, then kind of the next big North Star. I think that, you know, we'll certainly are passionate about making it work for all of those things. I don't think we're right now, and it's not ever, but like, we're definitely not trying to do like websites or any of that stuff where, you know, it's, you know, we imagine that that is still like in the sweet spot of Webflow in the sense of like the marketing sites and being able to have the, like, you know, I guess I'd say beautiful animations and transitions and things like that, that like a marketing site, like that has more of like, you know, marketing sites tend to have a ton of like branding and graphic elements that are like really beautiful and like slide around and do all this like kind of amazing stuff that, you know, wows your users. But a lot of SaaS apps, I would say, like, don't have all of that polish. It's just, you know, and not that they can't have it, and you, people have made amazing Webflow apps that have those things, and that's amazing too. But be able to, you know, have your marketing site built in no code, and then when you click login, you know, it goes to the actual web app portion of it. Yeah, and you know, probably on those pages, if you're on your mobile device, we would like detect that and then show you like, hey, do you want to download the app like on your actual browser and be able to do like, you know, just like a, you know, a company like as large as Twitch, right? I guess Amazon, but Twitch, you know, like when you visit on the browser, and but then when you pull it up on your phone, it's like, hey, you want to download the app, and you click the download the app button, and then you have the app and your thing and all that stuff is synced together. I would say, you know, that's like,
that's the dream.
Yeah. That's the dream. Being able to have all that stuff, I think.
Okay. So taking all of that into consideration and like everything else, like I want to ask you a really hard question.
All right, let's go for it.
This is going to be a tough one. What is, if people, especially for people who are listening to this and who maybe they haven't dove into Adalo yet, like maybe they've tried other things and they haven't got there, or maybe they've tried Adalo but they haven't really, you know, it's funny, it's like when people say, oh, I used Webflow to build like this one page marketing site, and then like they really dive in, they're like, oh, I didn't know you could do this and this and this. Like, what is, when you think about Adalo apps, like the best built in Adalo, like what's the premier top app you think about when you think about those things, and what should we point people to really see what Adalo can do?
Oh, okay. That's a really good question. And also something that, personally we've done like not a good job at, which is probably why you're asking that question. We actually have just started, you know, interviewing, a bunch of our creators to like come up with an like amazing case study type of section. I think that goes a little bit back to that like community thing I talked about before. I think, personally, I've done probably, because like when I say I feel like I've kind of in charge of that side of things, I've not done a good job of like creating a like ecosystem to like have those things shared. Let's see. I'm trying to think of some like more complicated ones that would be like really cool. The one that Sebastian did, hang on, let me bring up his last name as well. Nice little searching while podcasting here.
We'll just play like Girl from Ipanema here or something like
Sebastian Hoffman. Okay. Yeah. I know. Hopefully he's not offended that I didn't remember his last name. Let's see. His Memoly app is pretty cool. We can give a link to that. The like, okay, hang on. There's definitely a lot of like really good ones built by the experts. The like Dream Cart app is pretty cool. It was also like this one, like it's been crazy to see people, we can have some links for some of these things too, like make like promo videos for their apps too. Like the Dream Cart one, which I feel like we should, I'll give you the link to the, or I'll send you the, maybe it's not a link, but I'll send you the like video of it as well, which was pretty crazy, to like watch like professionally made like app, like marketing of like something then that was like built in a dollar was like a little like goosebumps moment for us internally of like, oh wow, that was like better than some of the marketing stuff that like we make. Let's see. I mean, I always really love like the Mooney Fest app by Samantha. She's done a really good job there. Yeah, that one's pretty cool. But yeah, this is honestly, yeah, definitely kind of a big initiative for us right now is getting together a lot of those, like you're talking about, better case studies. I feel like we've done a particularly bad job at that. Like there's always like, there's all these things that like will pop up, you know, on our internal Slack of like, oh, hey, like here's this thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like that was pretty crazy. Like, how did you do that? Definitely the Spotto one that got acquired. That was pretty cool. The Japanese one. He, before he even had a calendar component, figured out a way to make a calendar component inside of Adalo. And like, I did this. This one also is in like, it was all set up in Japanese too. So like, I couldn't read the database structure to figure out how he even did it, which was like, I was like, literally like, how did you, I don't know how you actually pulled that off, but then I couldn't even decode it by looking at it because it was in a different language. So, yeah, I know. I was like, I still don't know. So we'll just make a calendar component because I don't know how you did this. So yeah, that one was pretty crazy. Let me get you some good links to have in the recording of this as well. But yes, I feel like this is definitely a thing that's lacking from our side of things. And that's definitely another thing we want to add to that we kind of want to build into, you know, Adalo, like I was talking about before with that marketplace, but, you know, also have a way, I mean, I always point back to Webflow because Webflow is the best, but you know, being able to have the showcase inside of there that has the designer view and, you know, you have your own profile and stuff like that. That's definitely, you know, what we kind of, I feel like also need for Adalo as well. Cause like there are all these like amazing things and they come out so fast that yeah, I feel like we need to do a better job of like sharing those things. So yeah, let me get you all a list for sure of that stuff.
Yeah. No, I feel the same way. Cause I see like this was built on Adalo and I'm like, dadgum, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know, and then you blink and you're like, wait, where did that tweet go? And like, so would love to share some of that because okay, I think it'd be really cool for listeners to be able to see.
Yeah, no, it's good feedback too. And definitely further emphasizes the like, you know, stuff in my own personal backlog of like, oh yeah, I really need to get to that. Yeah, definitely was like a, you know, a crazy amount of focus on the marketplace. And it was just like blocking everything else out there for like, you know, kind of like a whole month of stuff to like, you know, cause like we had to test all of those components too, which was like, I mean, it was like releasing 21 components on the same day, like 21 new features on the same day as you also like launch an infrastructure to do all of that stuff was, sounded like a great idea like 3 months ago, but actually doing that was a lot of, and then doing all of the like, you know, marketing stuff for it and everything.
And also trying to sleep.
Yeah, that didn't happen. That did not happen. And then also, you know, trying to plan my wedding, which we were talking about a little before the podcast, but my fiance has been very supportive in the endeavor. So I have to give her a shout out to being supportive while I don't sleep and attempt to help her plan the wedding.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I think, I don't know if Lacey and Matt had any other questions, but I think that's kind of it for our list of questions, but we wanted to thank you for coming on. I mean, this is something for, I think a long time we've talked about. We did the Futures No Code. We were like, we need to have an Adalo episode. So yeah, we're going to release this and we'll probably do another episode, probably focus more on it and try to show some of those things off. Especially like, you know, like one of the things we've been talking about doing and, maybe I'm not supposed to say this either because we can always edit it out, but it's like us picking some tools and building things in it And really spending some time diving deep about learnings and some things that we really, really loved about the whole process. So definitely be talking about Adalo much more, but we wanted to thank you for coming on. Appreciate your time. And
yeah,
you're always a fun guest.
Thanks for having me. So. And yeah, I definitely didn't get out this Tuesday, but working on to show off the audio player component, we put together a little visual dev podcast thing. You guys will be able to take it,
yes,
and actually, nice,
yeah, use it. Also for that, which maybe I told you in the email, I don't remember, but like we also figured out a way to take like RSS feeds from our external collections of like functionality where like it actually automatically brought in everything from all of your visual dev stuff. And then, yeah, so it would like auto update with like, so there's like an RSS to JSON converter, and then we put that into like the actual like external collections. So yeah, all that stuff like came in and like worked and like worked with the audio component, which was like, that's pretty mind blowing. Yeah.
Incredible.
To see that kind of happen. So I'll have a little demo of like, oh, how you would pull it in from an RSS feed, or how you would, you know, manually upload the episodes and stuff like that. So,
We need to show that off and then get people to put it on their phones. So
yeah, I know.
Even
better. Yeah, I know.
Win.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Well, thanks for joining us. And for those listening, we'll catch you guys next time.
Bye.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to visualdev.fm. You can find us on your favorite social media platform at visualdevfm.